I got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little fog hat?
Into our final hour of the broadcast wait. Glad you're with us this afternoon. So, Jeff Bezos, you weren't in here when I was talking to Nicole about him last hour, an hour and a half ago, whenever it was. So, is he so in love with this? Because we now know how the text messages, and not just messages, but pictures, including of his genitalia,
which the Inquirer did not publish.
No.
Okay.
They just say they have them.
They held the line.
Yeah. So she's the Sanchez gal that he's having the affair with. She sent them to a friend of hers, and the friend sold them to the National Enquirer.
What kind of friend is that?
Do you? Okay,
and again, this is all, I mean, this is what we're reporting through National Enquirer, which I always have to point out, even though I know. They did get it correct on the John Edwards story.
They have a dynamite track record on these.
They pay, and some people don't pay, and that's why they get it.
There's been zero refutation,
I know,
from Bezos or Amazon.
Anyway, I got to appreciate Jeff Bezos for saying, you know what, I'm not going to stand in the way of people reporting on me, too.
Right.
So he'd be a hypocrite if he did.
Although, this is one thing I found very interesting. That the Enquirer claims Bezos only announced the divorce on Wednesday morning because he knew it was about to expose his affair with Sanchez. The magazine also alleges that he tried desperately to stop the Enquirer from running the series of photographs which documented their affair, apparently asking one friend, can't I buy the story from them? Which, man, talk about the integrity of the National Enquirer, that they're putting their journalistic principles above crass money. They don't have dollar signs in their eyes.
Because this is going to be the gift that keeps paying for them, though.
But how much can they make? Because I've been seeing some of the stories that, you know, I don't know if you realize this, but print media is dying. And they're trying to drive
tabloids.
They're trying to drive everybody to, they're only putting a couple pictures online, and then they say, see all the photos at your local newsstand.
So there are gonna be some long checkout lines.
But does he stay with this Sanchez woman who sent his text messages to a friend who sold them to the National Enquirer?
Okay, so assuming all these details are correct, I don't know that. Well, yeah, actually.
How in love?
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, okay, based on the text, the alleged text,
yeah.
Sounds like he was smitten.
Oh, one of the texts, we don't have to worry about the, because she's leaving her husband, he's leaving his wife, and he said, we don't have to worry about the parachute opening because we are jumping together. We are sharing the parachute, and it will land safely. We have chosen each other. It's quite a Cyrano, man. He's got a silver tongue. But I still, I don't care how madly, wildly in love, in lust that he is with this woman. She took his text messages and naked pictures of him, sent them to a friend because apparently she wanted more to brag that she has captured, landed, ensnared Jeff Bezos. She wanted to brag about that to a friend more than protect the privacy of him. And if I'm him, I say bye-bye, as Trump would say.
I'm sorry.
Even after you left your wife, destroyed your family, I mean, he obviously likes her that much.
He her that much. He's got to say goodbye. He can get anybody in the planet.
No.
Except for you.
No. <we can't. laughs> Nope. But I think maybe this would have him crashing down to reality, because just based on what we've seen so far, I mean, it sounds like he was, you know, head over heels and, you know, put a lot.
Well, I'm just the head and the heels.
Dory, I'm just how the story has evolved. I mean, there was a headline that you sent out in the email this morning to Nicole that I just didn't need to see what was written there.
I have no idea what you're referencing.
About a certain thing, a text that he sent.
In my prep email?
Yes. And it talked about...
Well, I didn't write
personal
it.
Details about Jeff Bezos. I really didn't need to know.
I didn't write that.
I know you didn't.
I just linked to a newspaper story.
Yeah. Well, in other words, the title could be worse for Jeff, but it's actually pretty flattering.
It's the headline in The Sun... I didn't write the headline for the London Sun.
No, don't read it. It's okay. It's just flattering for Jeff. Let's just keep
going. Well, no, I don't think it is flattering.
Well,
now we're being too coy.
Okay,
with
I
the
know
listeners.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It talks about
just read it in a very antiseptic way and not embellish it at all.
I don't know.
Jeff Bezos sent X-rated photos of his big willy to Lauren Sanchez and told her, "I won't be gentle," Mag claims. Okay, no embellishment there. So, but all I did was hyperlink to a newspaper story.
An Inquirer, or actually The Sun, which is just as bad.
Yes, trustworthy organization.
Me for that? No. Am I supposed to stop hyperlinking?
Well, because I go back to the first day when we were talking about the money. That was a legitimate point of discussion. At this point, it's just all titillating and
but
just
no, I think
really none
this
of our business.
The most legitimate issue yet in this whole sordid
which part
that she wanted to brag about landing him more than she wanted to protect him, and so she passed these messages
well, either
along
that
to a
or she wasn't thinking, and she's in love, and she sends something and does something dumb. That's it.
You don't do that to someone you love. You don't expose them to that kind of. I know the
thinking that she has a friend who then becomes a weasel and turns around and sells it.
I mean, in order to get these texts, that friend must have been a best friend, a longtime friend, lifetime friend, who knows, but no longer.
I don't.
That everybody has a price, I told you.
Man, oh man. He's got to dump her. Jeff, I don't know if you're in D.C. or New York or Seattle right now, but Jeff, if you're listening, time to move on. Okay, this is your buddy Dore. I've been on their side for a lot of issues over the years. I was against the head tax. It's time to move on from Lauren Sanchez. She sold you out, man. She sold you out. And if he was sitting right here, if he was my best friend from childhood, that's what I'd counsel.
And again, all of these little, you know, tidbits that we're getting from the National Enquirer, maybe they're not true and maybe he sticks with her.
You're such a romantic. You just want to hold on to those naive ideals.
I know. I was just giving the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, let's get to the big lead.
The big lead. Top story.
I actually have some good news that references our Washington State Supreme Court. Because I've told you that it's become my increasing concern that the state Supreme Court is there to not just interpret the state constitution and the law, but to do the bidding of the labor unions, the teacher unions, the people who have gotten those Supreme Court justices elected. And I do think our system in our state is incredibly screwed up because we do have elected Supreme Court members, and they are beholden to their donors, more so, in the case of some of them, more so than they are to the Constitution. I know that that's not the oath they take, but that certainly is how they seem to rule. But the ruling by a lower judge that killed the Seattle income tax, the state Supreme Court says they're not even going to take up the issue. They said, yeah, we'll send it to a lower court if you want, or you can go to a lower court. But that is a blow for the zealots on the left who see the income tax in Washington as their holy grail. And there are an awful lot of Democrats in our state that is all they seek. They lust for it. Democrats in Washington lust for an income tax more than Jeff Bezos lusts for Lauren Sanchez. And that's lusty. But the state Supreme Court says we're not even going to review this because our Constitution does not allow an income tax. It doesn't allow a capital gains tax like Inslee's trying to get passed and the school superintendent because that's an income tax. And so at least in this regard, it's more affirmation of what I've been telling you. And that is our state constitution. I mean, you cannot believe how radical our state has gotten when you compare it to the people who crafted our state constitution. We were a wildly independent, limited government state, more so than many other states in the union. And now we have become 180 degrees the opposite. The most big government nanny state in the land. But the Supreme Court affirming what I've been telling you, you cannot do an income tax here in Washington, at least a graduate, an income tax on the rich only. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, big local.
Once again, the drug vagrancy in the region is really impacting the lives of families. A homeless camp that was set up just feet from school grounds down in Pierce County Elementary School has parents just over the top, on edge. It's McKenna Elementary School in Pierce County. There's pills, meth pipes, needles, piles of trash everywhere. Our news partners at Channel 7, Cairo TV, they talked to a mom of a kid at McKenna Elementary School. Her name is Julie Hurley.
Terrifying, because that's stuff our children shouldn't be exposed to. It's terrifying. Because no matter how many times you tell your kids, don't pick that up, don't touch that, they still do it.
And she says she can't believe that this is happening in their neighborhood at her kid's school.
To me, it's asinine that we have people that can leave these kinds of dangerous things that our children should not be exposed to.
Because political correctness and the mad desire to make us the drug attractant, the moth light of the nation for drug addicts, that's all that matters. And if that means putting kids at risk, then forget about the kids.
Kids are not safe with a homeless encampment behind their school.
And Ed Troyer with Pierce County Sheriff's Department, he told Cairo TV what they find in these encampments.
When you see a homeless camp and there are people there, you always find evidence of alcohol, stolen property, hypodermic needles. That just comes with it. There aren't a whole lot of them out there that don't bring those problems. And that's why we address them.
So now it's happening at our kids' elementary school. It's happening to my listeners. I talked a couple of hours ago with a listener named Jennifer, who went to the Northgate Mall just to run an errand, and now she is in the midst of a nightmare. What happened to you that led to you reaching out to me?
Well, I live in the Broadview neighborhood, a nice neighborhood, and I was doing some shopping, you know, just returning some things at the Northgate Mall, which has kind of been overrun by many homeless people because there's a huge encampment right there at the off-ramp to Northgate.
Right.
And so, you know, a lot of the crime and drug addicts, they've sort of moved to the mall and there's much more security now. But it affected me the other day when I was shopping and I was just kind of walking to my car. I dropped a few things and went down to grab my keys and my bag, and I felt something poke my hand, my left hand. And I picked up my bags and I looked, and there I see a used syringe.
And it drew blood, which means she has to get tested now. What in the world goes through your mind when you realize you've just been poked by a used needle?
Well, the first thing that went through my mind is, oh my gosh, you know, hepatitis C, because I know that's a big thing that's, you know, that's transmitted through used needles.
Yes.
And then, of course, HIV AIDS. So I'm a pretty calm person. I didn't freak out. I kind of internally freaked out, but, you know, I knew the right steps to take immediately. And of course, I was angry.
And she told me in her email to me, Jennifer said that she is angry. And you just heard that she's angry. And she says that she's in the midst of a nightmare now. Who are you angry at?
Well, you know, I am a little angry because I'm a 50-year resident in Seattle, and I've seen my city just basically go to hell. I mean, when I was young, we called it the Emerald City or the Jet City. And, you know, no longer is it the Emerald beautiful city that I grew up in. Like I said, I live in the Broadview neighborhood, which is above Carkeek Park.
Mm-hmm.
And part of my anger comes is they're camping down there. And, you know, there's needles everywhere on the trails. I don't even walk my dog down there. And I am starting to feel like, you know, they're right. And, you know, believe me, I don't begrudge them for being homeless, but I just feel that they're right remaining, you know, drug addicts and, you know, continuing to use and not wanting to get into shelters or get help. That's what angers me, that it's just continuing on, and it's almost like, you know, our council people are just feeding into the whole dilemma of, you know, the homelessness.
Meanwhile, our governor, the governor of this state that is riddled with drug addicts on the streets, the crime that's attendant with it, Jay Inslee's going to Nevada this weekend to continue testing the waters for the presidency. That's next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Big Local.
Republicans down Olympia say maybe you should step down, Jay Inslee, if you're going to spend all your time and energy running for president right now. Jay Inslee talked to our Hannah Scott in Olympia.
So I think just by looking the last several weeks, we're getting the job done here because I love this state, and I'm going to continue to love this state no matter what.
How are you getting the job done here? We have gridlock throughout our region. We have drug addicts everywhere. We have hypodermic needles everywhere. We got homeless people everywhere. We've got drug addicts from around the country pouring into our state. We have illegals from all around the world pouring into our state. How are you getting the job done here? You're spending way more than any governor in our state's history, per capita, adjusted for inflation. How are you getting the job done here?
Climate change. What I'm proposing this year is different than previous proposals, but it is just as bold. It is a compilation of work that we know gives us a great chance to reduce our state's emissions and meet our statewide goals, which are now in law to reduce our carbon emissions. And the reason for that is obvious, and I'm excited about the proposals we're making because they fit the moment and they work.
The only proposal you've made is a budget that would spend billions more and propose taxes, an illegal income tax, higher B&O tax. That's your solution. Things are not getting better with the more money we spend. And maybe it is time to decide whether you want to be a presidential candidate or the governor of this state, because our region's in a little bit of chaos right now, Mr. Governor. That is your Big Lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Oh, I love Fridays. We're going to check the news for you, and then we're going to count down our favorite sound bites of the entire week coming up next. Proud of you, Sean. I'm always proud of you. That never wavers, but some days I'm more proud than others.
Thanks, Dory. I would agree with you. I'm more proud of me some days over others as well.
Let's just bathe in the soothing, warm sounds for a few seconds before we count down our favorite sound bites of the day. No, the week!
Dory Monson's awesome audio. Clips of the week.
Ursula made the clips of the week this week.
What?
Yeah. You made the clips of the week here. Okay, number three. Donald Trump, the other day, he said that everything was peachy Dory. And, of course, we turned that into me asking the president an important question.
Number three.
Okay, go ahead. Next question.
Hey, Mr. President.
What?
Lori Monson, Cairo Radio in Seattle.
I can't hear you.
It's a really fresh cologne you're wearing. What scent is that?
It's peachy dory.
It's absolutely delightful, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, number two, Nicole and I disagreed on this one. She wasn't that amused by it. I found it to be utterly delightful. The German Shepherd that liked the closing theme song to Law and Order. And if my neighbor is listening, you might want to either get Ruby away from the radio. I guess Ruby started screaming.
My friend Isabel's dog started wailing too.
Yeah, because Law and Order produced by Dick Wolf, and then they have the closing theme song, and then they have the closing screenshot of a wolf howling. And apparently this German Shepherd really likes this.
Number two.
Not love that. What's
number
wrong with you?
Number two of the week.
What's
and we've had better
you?
Dog howls.
I don't know. That one was in tune. And then at number one, Ursula makes an appearance in number one. So listeners were contacting us saying, you've got to include this one.
Stop.
In your
no.
awesome audio of the week.
Wait.
So
I want to be truthful with this.
Come on.
It's going to be something new that we're going to add to awesome audio when there's a funny moment during the show.
During the show. When
we're
all
oh, sure. And we think
how,
it's hilarious.
How about including me in this?
And you...
And I would encourage listeners to suggest moments of the show that they think might make awesome audio of the week.
And a couple of days ago, when Jay Inslee came up with a dash percent in the polling among the Democratic candidates, you asked, is it possible that he's just, you know, knows he has no chance?
Mm-hmm.
And I said,
trying
no.
to, yeah, carve a way into a position if a Democrat wins in 2020.
And I did not think that was possible because you're always surrounded by lackeys.
Number one.
To get the word out about something he's very passionate about, which is climate change. And then if a Democrat is elected president, he gets a position dealing with environment.
Could
that be
I do not
plan?
Think it's possible that he has that level of self-awareness. I think that when you are, he was a congressman, he's been a governor. You are surrounded by lackeys whose job is to kiss your butt from the moment you wake up until about 5 minutes after you've fallen asleep because it's soothing.
Okay, that could get you in trouble.
But I don't even know what that meant. I still don't. Our awesome audio is brought to you by Brown Bear Car Wash. Today's sign is next. And down the stretch we come. What a week, what a show, what a show, what a week. All right, before I head off into the weekend, and I don't know what to do with my weekend. This is the first time since September. There was the bye weekend. But this is the first time since September that I haven't had a Seahawks game. Well, I guess that's not entirely true. They had a Thursday night game, so I had a weekend free for that. But you know what I'm talking about. The Seahawks season is over. And so I don't know what to do with all my extra free time now. Doesn't it seem like a month ago when the season ended? I mean, 1 week ago, right now, I hadn't even gotten on the airplane to go to Dallas for that Seahawks-Cowboys ill-fated game. I was 9 hours away from getting on an airplane a week ago right now. That really is amazing to me. That seems like so much more than a week ago. But it was only 6 days ago. So I got all this free time this weekend. Maybe I'll watch some football. All right, before I get out of here, it is time for today's edition of...
Today's sign that the end is near.
Today's sign, the world is soon coming to an end. Dateline, the U.S.-Mexico border. Regardless of how you feel about the wall, I don't know how people can be so, like the woman on CNN yesterday, Anna Navarro, and the other guest was talking about the illegal who killed the police officer in California right around Christmas time. And Anna Navarro, to show her disdain for him talking about that, pulled out a nail file and started filing her fingernails on the air. I mean, just an unbelievably callous bit of disregard for what is a serious issue. In case you didn't hear that, let me play that for you. I had this on yesterday's show.
No, but even if I, that's fake news to say there are not. It's fake news.
It's fake news for you to inject BS and say that it's equal to the real data.
It's not BS. But even if I were to, even if I were to grant you.
You hear her sigh right there. And then she puts her fingernails in front of the camera and then pulls out a nail file. And the host, Cuomo, he goes, oh, she's filing her nails. It's like, it's just a cartoon network, except cartoons are funny.
That. Okay, the point is the illegal alien crime rate should be zero. It should be, you can do your nails. You know who can't do their nails? Are people who've been killed, Anna, by dangerous, known illegal aliens who've been allowed to stay in this country because of the leftist policies that people like you promote in so-called sanctuary cities.
I'm so tired
to allow them to hide in plain sight.
Already. Just and because then, you want to compromise
well, I don't care if you're
your
tired
values.
Of it. Go back to,
listen, I don't
go
care.
Back to filing
I don't
your
care
nails.
What you call me. To me
go back to filing your nails. So that's the level of disdain for a conversation about an illegal killing a cop. Regardless of how you feel about the wall, one thing is undeniable, and that is every illegal who kills, and the stats that illegals commit crimes at a lower rate are bogus numbers. We've talked about that and we've proven that on this show. But every illegal who kills in this country, that's a death that would not have happened if we'd had a border that would have kept him out. That's undeniable. Even if you believe the illegal murder rate is lower, that's not going to ever change how many U.S. citizens commit murders. But for the victims of the illegals, that would be a life saved. And I would like people to at least consider, you know, the angel moms and dads. They are the parents of people who have lost loved ones, most cases their kids, to illegals who have committed murder in our country. Mary Ann Mendoza, she's one of them, and she says when she hears in the media constantly that this is a manufactured crisis on our border.
It's basically a slap in our face, and it's just a kick to our loved ones' graves. A manufactured crisis. I mean, it's unbelievable that they've even come up with these words.
Yeah, but that's what many in the media are doing, and certainly many in politics are doing, calling it a manufactured crisis. Well, it's not a fake crisis if your loved one was murdered or maimed by someone who is here illegally. And that is something that could be prevented if we had a stronger border. Today's signed story number two. A guy was out walking his dog, 38-year-old Drew Justice, and his fiance, they're walking their Shih Tzu at a park, 9 o'clock Saturday. They saw a 24-year-old guy in the dog park with a pit bull off-leash. And so the 38-year-old guy, he went up to the 24-year-old guy, and he said, hey, would you put your dog on a leash? The 24-year-old guy, Matthew Oropeza, decided not to leash his dog. Instead, he threw a punch to the head of the Shih Tzu owner and killed him. One single punch, one blow to the head, and the guy walking with his fiance and dog was dead. And now Matthew Oropeza has been charged with involuntary manslaughter, simple assault, reckless endangerment of another person. When Oropeza threw the punch, the victim fell backward, hit his head on the ground, was taken to a hospital where he was pronounced dead. All because he asked the pit bull owner to put his dog on a leash at the dog park. It's amazing. Here in our state, we have such mature people. Apparently, the mile marker 69 signs, keep getting stolen in Washington. And so the state DOP has come up with a solution. They now are using milepost marker 68.9 instead of the 69. And they're hoping that people will not be tempted to steal these new milepost signs. They had milepost 420 signs, but those kept getting stolen. So now those read 419.9. Because 420 is associated with weed. The first number I mentioned, I don't know what that's associated with. You know, I usually try to finish the show with a song that's tied in to one of the Today's Sign stories. But I was driving in today, heard a song on the radio, and I thought, you know, this perfectly sums up my relationship with you. So instead of a thematic song tied to a news story, I just thought this song explained the success of this radio show. It explains the relationship that you and I have developed. It's not just a casual host-listener relationship. Tonight, I want to give it all to you. In the darkness, there's so much I want to do. Well, don't take this literally. I want to lay it at your feet. Cause girl, I was made for you. Girl, you were made for me. Okay, here's the part that explains you and me. Ever heard a song that better defines the relationship between you and me? That better explains the wild success of my little radio show? It's just based on one thing and one thing only. Love. I'm driving into work, I hear a song like this, and I decide, oh, that's how I'll use it on the show today. There is something wrong with my brain. I'll be the first to admit it. I got to get out of here. I've said everything I have to say for this week. I'll go home, think up a bunch of new stuff over the weekend. We'll come back strong on Monday. On the Big Show. Have a great weekend. See you Monday, high noon. Head up.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You really are a fantastic audience.